Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight I would like to go to Exodus chapter 15, and we'll start there. I told you last Wednesday night, the Lord just dealt with me. Just start ministering on the subject of healing. And that's something that we all need and need to hear. And because, you know, we live in these natural bodies, and so we have to deal with things. And so we need divine help. Amen. So we're talking about divine healing. All right. So tonight, I'm just going to title this Sins and Sicknesses. And you'll understand here in just a minute. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Amen. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So, you know, I mean, 3 days without water, especially traveling in this arid desert area, these people were thirsty. Amen. You know, sometimes I see them complain, and we shouldn't do that. Hallelujah. We shouldn't murmur, but then I look at it and I think, you know, sometimes we murmur over smaller things than that. I can't remember the last time I went 3 days without any water. Well, without something to drink. I might have gone 3 days without water, but, you know, I was drinking something. Amen. And so, you know, they've gone 3 days, no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, they called the name of Marah, which means bitterness. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and he proved them. Now, you know, What does a tree have to do with cleaning up water in the natural? Nothing, right? I mean, you can throw trees in the water all day long. It doesn't make bitter water sweet, right? But this is a type, right? You know, somebody was hung on a tree, right? Jesus Christ, right? Amen. Galatians says that Christ redeemed us from the curse, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So this is a type of you know, life's bitter waters, and the answer to it is the tree. Throw the tree in it. Hallelujah. And so Moses does that, and it says, verse 26, and said, this is God talking, he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and you will do that which is right in his sight, and you will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I wanted to start with that scripture because I wanted you to see that there is a remedy for life's bitter waters, whatever that might be. It's called the tree. And right after these waters, the tree was thrown in these waters, God said to Israel, he said, I am the Lord that heals you. Now in Hebrew, you know, in the way we'd say it in English, this isn't really correct, but this is the way we say it. We would say Jehovah Rapha. You know, God's revealed himself by different names in the Bible, you know. I mean, he's Jehovah, you know, one place in Genesis calls him Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord sees and supplies. He's called in different other places. He was called Jehovah Zidkenu, which means the Lord our righteousness. You know, Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord as our peace. And you can find these names of God throughout the Old Testament. Matter of fact, I've got a teaching on it. I spent, I think, 9 weeks or 9 services teaching on the names of God. So that, you know, you can always get that, or it may be on the website, I don't know, you can get it for free. But whatever, it doesn't matter to me how you get it, but you can get the names, and you understand that God revealed himself by these names. Now you know, most any theologian, church Bible preacher, church teacher would readily say that, you know, God is still Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He's still Jehovah Jireh, you know, our provider. Now, they might have a little trouble with the provider thing. Some of them just believe God wants you poor. But, you know, they believe in these other Jehovah names. But then they believe Jehovah Rapha, he somehow passed away. He died out. Well, how many know if he's still Jehovah this, he's still Jehovah everything? Amen. You know, he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Right? That's not our teaching tonight. We may teach on that sometime. I've got a teaching on healing about the unchangeableness of God. But what I want you to see is that when this tree came involved, God revealed himself as a healer. Hallelujah. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because we're going to look at some scripture tonight. We're going to talk about sins and sicknesses. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. And let's read there. And there's a, you know, this is a passage of scripture that talks about Jesus being our substitute, suffering on our behalf. In Isaiah 53, let's go there. And we're going to see some things tonight and hopefully just stir us up. You know, a lot of times when we teach on these things, it may not be new to everybody. Some people it may be new to. You'd be surprised what people don't know. And you know what? Because I used to preach, and I just thought I would just preach like everybody knew what I knew. I mean, have you ever had somebody have a conversation with you, and they just act like you know what they're talking about, and you don't know what to talk about, you know? And I would preach that way sometimes, and my wife would say to me, Phyllis would say to me, said, "You have to understand, hon, that some people don't know what you're talking about. They don't know what you know." And so you just preach and you think, well, they all know this, you know. I mean, if I know it and as dumb as I am, then everybody else knows it. Yeah, I know. But here's another thing. I found out there are people that are dumber than I am. So that was a real blessing to me to find that out. You know. But anyway, so, you know, I learned, you know, that, you know, a lot of times we think these simple things like all this, that people know that. And, you know, a lot of times maybe they even heard it. But even if you have heard it, you know, you need to be stirred up about it again and again. See, you know, listen, man, you know, people come out, I've got a new revelation. Well, I hope it's not. Because if it is, I don't want it. Because if it didn't come from the Bible, then I don't want it. You know what I'm saying? So it's already been revealed or else, you know, I don't want it. Amen. It might be new to you, but it's not new to God. It's not new to the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, So just, you know, Jehovah Rapha means the Lord your healer. And now Isaiah chapter 53, this is talking about Jesus being suffering on our behalf at the cross. And it says in verse 1, Isaiah 53, 1, who hath believed our report? See, this report has to be believed. Well, let's read the report. You know, we used to say this, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I thought about it one day. You know, people would say, now, Pastor, I'm going to the doctor. Would you agree with me for a good report? Well, of course, yeah, I will. But here's the thing about it. You already have one. You have one before you go to the doctor. Now, he might tell you something that's not good, but you have a good report through the Word. Amen? Now, you know, you don't get mad at him. He's just telling you what he found. Right? You know, but you just happen to know, I got another report. I got someone else working on the case, Doc. You know, I'm not just going to trust it to humans. Amen. So he said, who hath believed our report? Now notice, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, who is the arm of the Lord revealed to? Well, it's revealed to the ones that believe the report. This is talking about Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised and we esteemed him not. You don't mind if I do a little word teaching here, do you? Now, the words here, where it says he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, literally, and if you have a good translation, it'll tell you this. Literally, those words, the word sorrow is the word pain. The word grief is the word sickness. Now, it's a Hebrew word that, you know, the Hebrew word, I don't know that this necessarily give you the Hebrew, I've got it, but there's no point in that. But the Hebrew word that is translated sorrows here, when you look at the meaning of it, it means a pain. It can mean sorrows, but it means sorrows because of pain. All right? And the word for grief means sickness. Now, you get some translations, and they say that, because that's literally what the Hebrew actually says. Now, that doesn't mean that griefs and sorrows is a wrong translation. You understand that a word can have multiple meanings to it. You know, especially Hebrew words can have multiple meanings. So it does mean that, but in this instance, it would have been a lot better had they just said he was a man of pain and a man of sickness. Now, I think I kind of understand why they didn't, because they didn't think he ever was a man of sickness. You can't find any record of Jesus being sick, right? But they missed it. Verse 4 says, surely he's borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows or pain. See, what the Bible's saying here is Jesus was a man of sorrows or a man of pain and a man of sickness because he was bearing ours. They weren't his, they were ours. Everybody look at that, surely. Come on. See, you know, listen. If you get a hold of these things, sickness is, it's done running in your life. It's done. So surely he hath borne ours. See, that's what Isaiah is saying. See, if you'd have left it that way, if you'd have translated it, sicknesses and pains, you would have read that. He's a man rejected of men, a man of pain, acquainted with sickness. He's acquainted with sickness. And then Isaiah cleared it up. Surely it wasn't his, it was ours. It was our sickness. Hallelujah. He was bearing our sickness and carrying our sorrows. Now, how do we know that that's true? Well, look, we're not going to look at the scripture, but you can write it down if you want to. Matthew 8:17 quotes Isaiah. Matthew 8:17 quotes Isaiah chapter 4. Matthew 8:17, inspired by the Spirit of God, said himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Quoting that verse right there. So Matthew, by the Spirit of God, said that verse should say sicknesses, infirmities or pain or something like that. Are you following what I'm saying here? I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying that the Bible's, the pastor's saying the Bible's wrong. I'm not saying the Bible's wrong. I'm saying men translated the Bible from the original Greek and Hebrews and Aramaic. And the thing of it is when you get a Hebrew word, you just got to decide what does that word mean? What is it saying here? Right? Because it's rich, it's full. It could mean a lot of different things, see? It could mean several different things. You know, we're going to talk about this. The word saved, it means more than just salvation from sin. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, but it's a deeper meaning than that. It has a wide range of meanings. And you'll find some of these Hebrew words or some of these Greek words in your Bible, they're translated differently in different spots. It's not that it's a mistake. It's just that it meant something a little different there. And you kind of got to judge by the context how you want to translate it. All right? And I think they did a pretty good job, honestly. But, you know, right here, if they'd have went off, Matthew, what Matthew said about it, he said sicknesses, infirmities, and translate it that way, then it would have really opened this up a whole lot more for the religious world. All right. See, I don't have any problem with it because I know he bore mine. Amen? But, now verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. Whose transgressions? He was bruised for our iniquities. Whose iniquities were they? They were ours. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I had a lady tell me years ago, back in the early 80s, now that word healed, that means spiritually. But you know, when you study that word healed out, it's the word Rapha. I am the Lord that heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. It's the word Rapha, and it means physically healing. It means to be physically healed. It's translated over 40-some times in the Old Testament to use as physical healing or physician. So it has nothing to do with spiritually being healed. Matter of fact, the truth of the matter is you weren't spiritually healed, you were born again. God didn't heal anything, He recreated you. Amen? You know, and so, now here's the thing. All churches will say, Jesus bore our transgressions, right? He bore our iniquities. They'll all say that. Well, let me know, if we're the R in verse 5, we've got to be the R in verse 4, right? If it was our transgressions and our iniquities, then it was our sicknesses and our pain that he bore at Calvary. Has to be. And you can go to Matthew. Like I said, Matthew 8:17. Matthew tells you exactly what verse 4 means. In Isaiah, he says, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Well, where did he do it at? Well, he did it right here. This is talking about, this is talking about the cross. This is talking about Calvary. This is talking about him suffering on the cross. You know, you read on, and we're not going to read it all, but it talks about I think it's in the 52nd chapter when it starts talking about it. It says his visage or his form was more marred than any man, you know, and talks about him suffering on our behalf. So, but what I wanted you to see was this. Look, sickness, sins, sickness were taken care of at the same time, by the same person, by the same act. Now, I'm going to show you that in the scriptures where it's, you know, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, I can give you more than that tonight. I'll give you more than that. We give you a lot more than that. But I'm going to give you more than that tonight. Then it just establishes it that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, without a doubt, died for our sicknesses. Amen. Now, this is in contrast to what a lot of churches teach, because a lot of churches teach, well, God might heal you in his mercy. He might and he might not. Well, I call that favoritism. How does he decide who he's going to heal? You know, that's really theologically, fundamentally flawed. And here's the reason why. Because the Bible says in Colossians, he's reconciled all things to himself by his blood. All things have been reconciled. You read Romans chapter 3, and it talks about that being freely justified by his blood, through faith in his blood. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation for our sins. Amen. And it goes on and talks about the sins in the Old Covenant. This is Romans 8, or excuse me, 3:26. If you want to look at it sometime, just check Pastor out. But in Romans 3:26, it talks about how God passed over the previous sins. In Romans 3:25 and 26, it talks about how God passed over people's previous sins. The Old Testament saints, he passed over their sins. You know, and it says he did it because he was setting forth Jesus as the propitiation for their sins and ours. And it says this, that God might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. I don't mean to confuse you. I don't want to take time to look at that passage, but I just want to say this to you. What that verse, Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 26 is saying, is simply saying, for God to be just in justifying anybody, he has to do it through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He can't just say, I forgive it. If he could, he would have. If Jesus said himself, if there's another way, Father, let this cup pass from me, there wasn't another way. So he can't just overlook it. Amen. Now the reason, see, I thank God for his healing power because Jesus Christ paid for it. I want it. If he paid for it, I want it. And so what that verse is simply saying, those verses in Romans, is this, that for God to heal anybody, for God to bless anybody, for God to forgive anybody, he had to do it through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He can't just say, I just like you and I'm going to bless you. Are you with me? For him to be just, the Bible says, Romans 3:26, for him to be just and the justifier him that believes in Jesus. He had to do it this way. So that tells me this. If God has forgiven anybody, he'll forgive everybody. If God has healed anybody, he'll heal everybody. Amen. He can't just pick a person out and say, I'm going to do it, and be just in doing that. That's what the Bible teaches there. And so, and you'll get people that are so gullible and say, well, I've never seen anybody healed. Well, you know, I have. Well, I don't believe you. Well, okay. I don't really care. Amen. I've seen people physically healed before my eyes. I mean, physical things you see, like growth disappear. Bam, it's gone instantly. Well, you know, so it went somewhere. Somebody did it. It wasn't me. I don't have the power to do it. If I did, I'd charge for it. Well, what are you laughing about? What do you think they do next door?
That's right.
You think you go over there for free? I mean, if I'm better than them, I'll make more money than them. Hallelujah. All right. Praise. All right. How many got that? All right. Here's the thing. In Matthew chapter 53, Jesus Christ is bearing our sins, but he's not just bearing our sins, he's bearing our sicknesses. It's very plain. And, you know, we're just passing over it quickly tonight because I got other scriptures I want to look at. But, you know, our peace was on him too, the Bible says. Amen. You know, a Jewish Passover. I never gone to one, but I've heard people that have, and all. But when you go back to a Jewish Passover, I mean, when they know how to do it and they do it right. I'm not just talking about just somebody doesn't know what they're doing, but they know what they're doing and they do it right. They do certain things that point to Jesus Christ. You know, for instance, you know, when they have the Passover, they have the cup. You know, the cup represents the blood of Jesus, and then they'll have the three pieces of bread, you know, and they will take out the middle piece of bread. Now, you know, one guy said one time, he said, we always did that. He said, I always wondered, you know, we always thought it meant Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Always wondered why we always pulled Jacob out. But have you know, it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so they'll have these three pieces of bread, and it's interesting, they'll take the middle piece of bread out, which represents Jesus, they break it. And then they wrap it in a napkin, a linen napkin, all right, and then they hide it away, and they bring it back out after their meal. Now, a lot of them don't know what they're doing, but it's just a type of Jesus being broken for our sins. Our sicknesses, being wrapped in linen, amen, being put in a tomb and coming back out of it. Now, they don't see it that way unless they're, you know, Messianic Jews. They don't see it that way. But here's another interesting thing that they do. After the meal, they take that middle piece that they had, they represent Jesus, they put it away in their dresser, and they go back and break off a piece if they're ever sick or in financial need and eat it. Isn't that interesting? Hallelujah. It's talking about eating of the lamb. Remember when Israel came out, talked about in Psalm 105, he said they came out with silver and gold and there wasn't a feeble person among their tribes. Well, what did they do before they came out? Anybody remember what they did right before they came out? They ate the lamb, didn't they? So even though the Jews don't realize what they're doing, They're actually portraying, living out, quote, portrayal of what Jesus did at Calvary. And I told you, you know, evangelist acquaintance that I knew for years and years, he told me one time, he said, I had a guy that I was trying to win to the Lord. He was an Orthodox Jew. And he said, you know, he said, they made a deal. If you'll go to the synagogue with me, and then I'll come to church with you. That's what the Jewish guy said. So they made a deal. And so, yeah, I'll go for that. So he went. He said, I went to this Jewish synagogue. And he said, they were reading, you know, and they were reading out of Isaiah. And he said, you know, they were reading Isaiah chapter 52. He said, they got to a certain part in Isaiah 52. And he said, they skipped from Isaiah 52, the last part of it. He said, they skipped all the whole chapter of 53. And he said, he started reading with Isaiah 54. This is the rabbi. So he skipped out on his reading part of Isaiah 52, all of Isaiah 53, and went to Isaiah 54. So this minister that I knew for years, he said after the service, you know, I went to him and said, you know, I noticed your reading today. I was familiar with it, Isaiah. He said, and I noticed that you skipped part of that. You know, you skipped the last part of 52. You skipped all of 53. Was there a reason for that? He said, yes. He said, because when we read that, he said, people mistakenly believe that's Jesus. Probably a good reason for that. Because it is Jesus. Amen. And so I thought that was pretty interesting when he said that. I thought, wow, that is such an accurate portrayal of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, but I want you to see that. Here again, what do we have? We have sins and sicknesses. All right, let's go to the New Testament. Let's go over there, and we're going to look at a few passages in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to read one verse, and then we're going to go to another passage there in the New Testament, because it's important that we, you know, we see this is throughout our Bible in different places. First Peter chapter 2. All right, you got it? Verse 24, talking about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the, there it is, the what? The tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Wow, there it is again. Sins, sicknesses. Same time, same place, same person took care of it. Hallelujah. He did it at Calvary. And you know where it says stripes, you know, some translations, especially in Isaiah, will say wounds. And that's okay too, because that's what it is, the wounds that were on his body, which the stripes were wounds on his body, which all that took place there at the cross incident with Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, all right, let's go to James chapter chapter 5. Let me show you this. I'm just making a point here that Jesus of Nazareth took care of us at Calvary, our sins and our sicknesses. Our sins and our sicknesses. Now, James chapter 5, go there, verse 14. It says, this is talking to the churches, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And now, you know, I've actually read from intelligent people. I've got all kinds of Bibles, study Bibles. Some of the notes are good. Some of the notes are like, you got to spit them out. And there are intelligent people that have degrees and a lot of college education will say, well, this oil had some healing properties. It was like medicine. It's just oil. Crisco, baby. It's just oil. I know it's not vegetable oil, it's olive oil. You understand? It's a type of the Holy Spirit hooking up with us, prayer. He's the oil of God, right? And the prayer, notice 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have, notice this, committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Well, there it is again. Healing. Right? Sins, sicknesses removed, right? He's going to get healed and he's going to get his sins removed at the same time. Amen. So what's that tell you? Well, it had to be paid for by the same price. It's happening at the same time. It had to be paid for by the same price. You say, well, Pastor, I know all this. Well, all right, I know you do, but let me tell you something. If you don't keep yourself stirred up on these things, you won't be able to walk in all that God has for you. Yeah, you know, I knew these things before some of you were born. Well, not Pastor Chuck. But, you know, I knew that before some of you were born, but I still feed on it today. Why? Because I still need it today. I still got a physical body today. There's still sickness out there today. I still keep it alive and fresh. Amen? Amen. Just because you ate yesterday doesn't mean you're not going to eat today. Amen. There are certain things, you know, you may like. You know, you don't just have them one time. I like Mexican. I had it Sunday. I'll have it again. I don't say, you know, I've had Mexican before. I'm done with that. Well, eventually you're going to starve to death because you've already had everything. Right? But people will take that approach to the Word of God. Well, I already know that. I already heard that. I know all about that. Well, no, you don't. You're just showing your ignorance when you say stuff like that, because if you knew all about it, you'd be excited about it, right? I mean, you'd be stirred up about it. Like, hallelujah. I know Jesus Christ paid for the price for my sins. I'm still stirred up about that. Amen. And, there's times I have to apply it. You know, I get in the flesh or something. I have to go back and appropriate it. Amen. Now, all right, let's go. I tell you what, let's go to Luke chapter 5. Come on, you get anything tonight? I'm not going to go long tonight, but it's very important that we understand that the same price was paid for your sins as well as your sicknesses. Hallelujah. You know, we'll hear people say, come to Jesus, He'll forgive all of your sins. But people won't say He'll heal you, but He will. He will. Luke chapter 5, look with me at verse 17, Luke 5, 17. This is, once again, talking about Jesus, and it says that it came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. So these are trained religious people here. You know, some translators say teachers of the law, but it means that they're teachers, they're doctors, they're learned in the law. And they were sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. So there were a lot of people here, folks. If they came out of every town of Galilee, every town of Galilee, every town of Judea, and from Jerusalem, there's a lot of religious people in this room. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Notice the power of God was there to heal them. This isn't good English, but you'll get it. Then them must have needed healing. I mean, God wouldn't manifest His power to heal them. How many He would know, right? If them didn't need to be healed, the power wouldn't be there to heal them. If everybody in the room was saved, truly born again, then there's no need for the power to be there to get people born again. They already are. If everybody's baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's no need for the power to be there to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. They already are. So obviously, the Holy Spirit knew some of them needed to be healed. But you know, the interesting thing is, when you read this account, none of them got healed. None of them. So can the power be present and people not get anything? Absolutely. 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 Verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with the palsy, ear was paralyzed, and they sought means to bring him in to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. That's radical. I said, that's radical. So that's the next time you need a couch in your house, you might think of this, and you just drop it through the roof. You probably should have read that scripture that day, and you would have had an idea how to get that couch in the house. I've read this in the Bible. How many know what he wasn't really? It wasn't really a couch. How many know it? I mean, it was like a mat, a bed he was laying on, whatever you want to call it. All right. And when, verse 20, when he saw their faith, so you can see faith, right? He saw their faith. He said unto him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? See, they knew from the Old Testament that only God had the ability to forgive sins. I am the Lord thy God. I blot out your transgressions, your iniquities for my sake. So they understood this. That the actual even Hebrew word where it talks about God for you're being forgiven, it indicates that only God can do it. Well, how many, they didn't know who they was dealing with this day. But Jesus, He perceived their thoughts. He answering said to them, what reason ye in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise up and walk? See, what is He saying? Well, listen, everybody say your sins are forgiven you. Everybody say rise up and walk. Now, which one did you have the most trouble saying? Did one of them like make you sweat it out? You really had trouble saying? He said, which one of these is easier to say? What is he saying here? He's simply saying they're both the same. They're both the same. See, it's the same Savior, the same cross that paid for it all. That's why I said, which one of these is easier to say? See, they're upset because he said, your sins are forgiven. You're thinking, well, who does he think he is saying sins can be forgiven? He can forgive sins. He said, which is easier? See, they didn't have any problem with take up your bed and walk. They had problems with your sins are forgiven you. See, you understand? See, today it's just the opposite. Right? I mean, now churches have problems with take up your bed and walk. Well, you know, God might want you to keep that. Well, Jesus didn't say that. He said, take up your bed and walk. See? So we see there again, this guy, now notice this, what happens to this guy? But that you, verse 24, but you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, rise, take up your couch, go into your house. And immediately he rose up before them. He took up that whereon he was laying, and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God. And they were filled with fear, saying, we've seen strange things today. Well, not really. They saw normal things. But it was strange to them because they hadn't been seeing it on this matter. But here's what I wanted you to see. Here's a guy that he comes. Now notice this. What is he coming for? He's coming for healing. He's not coming to get his sins forgiven. He's coming for healing. Right? So they let him down. Jesus, the first thing he says to him is, your sins are forgiven you. Well, that one, why isn't why I come? I come for healing. And then they got all upset and said, well, who do you think you are? So you blasphemed. He said, to show you I didn't blaspheme, take up your bed and walk. In other words, if his sins are forgiven him, he'll be able to get up and walk. Are you with me now? See, what's he saying? Well, the same power that forgave his sins is the same power to cause him to get up and walk. So if he doesn't get up and walk, his sins aren't forgiven him. That's what Jesus is saying to him. But if he gets up and walks, that shows you his sins are forgiven him. He got up and walked. Why is that? Because it's the same Savior, the same cross that paid for them both. Hallelujah. You don't just get one, you get them both when you receive Jesus as your Savior. Hallelujah. See, this guy, he got his forgiveness and his body healed on the same day. Now, I told you I got one more scripture I'm going to look at, but I told you I was going to give you a little bit of word definition. That Greek word for salvation, here's the depth of the meaning of it. The word, when you see salvation in the New Testament, like, you know, the gospel's the power of God unto salvation, or you might see, you know, with the heart man believes with the mouth, you confess unto salvation. That word salvation means to deliver, it means to protect, it means to heal, it means health, it means do well, it means to rescue, it means safety, it means to preserve, it means to make whole. So see, it has a wide variety of meanings. So when God saved us, He delivered us, He got us protection, He got us healing and health, He's going to cause us to do well, He'll rescue us, He'll keep us in safety, He'll preserve us, and He'll make us whole. Not just forgive your sins, He'll do all that. Are you with me now? So see, this is part of the gospel. See, healing wasn't a side issue with Jesus. So I think this is where we've kind of gotten off as a church. You know, we get off on these side issues that mean little to nothing. You know, I could name some of them, but they mean little to nothing. When Jesus didn't get off on that, he made it pretty simple. He went about preaching and teaching and healing. If the church would have stuck to that mission, where in the world would we be today? Amen. Amen. All right, let's close out. Psalm 103. Did you get something tonight? Amen. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and I'll read this and then we'll close tonight. Psalm 103. Sins and sicknesses, taken care of, same day, same person, same sacrifice. Psalm 103, go with me to verse 1. Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. See, that's the problem, is people forget His benefits. Now, one of the meanings of the word forget not here, it means to mislay. You know, you ever mislaid something? Can't find your car keys, your glasses, your wallet, whatever. You misplaced them. You mislaid them. You know, sometimes I'll work with tools and I get so aggravated because they disappear. It's like little men come and take off with them while you're not looking, you know. And I'll hunt for something and find out it's in my pocket. Phyllis was one day going around the house, "Have you seen my glasses? Where have I put my glasses?" Look in the mirror. They're on your head. So a lot of people have mislaid God's benefits, right? Now, you can know about them and still mislay them. You can just like lay it aside, you know. Because, you know, let me just ask you this. Maybe you have recently, but how often do you watch Christian TV and you hear somebody, it happens some, but how often do we hear people talk about divine healing anymore? Now, I had this Christian satellite thing, and all it was Christian stations. It was a satellite. It was a good thing. I think you had it too at one time. And, you know, but I noticed one day, I'm just flipping through all these channels, all these Christian channels, all these preachers, all this, and some of them are Spirit-filled, they're Word of Faith people. And I noticed, you know, program after program after program, they're talking about vitamins, they're talking about, you know, eating bark off the tree, you know, getting, you know, frozen pizza and throwing the pizza away and eating the cardboard. And, you know, and all of that, some of that had its place. Some of it is just, you know, I don't ascribe to and never will. But some of it had its place. I understand. But it dawned on me, I'm seeing all these programs as I flip through all these channels, channel after channel, and I'm seeing all these programs of what you should do in the natural to keep yourself healthy. Well, there are things you should do in the natural to keep yourself healthy. I'm not arguing with that. But here's the thing. I wasn't seeing any 1 Peter 2:24 on any of those programs. And I don't care how good you eat. I know runners that are elite runners that fall and die over heart attacks. I know people that eat all the right things and get cancer and die. I know people that do all the right things. Does that mean that they're doing wrong by doing those things? No, I'm just saying don't put your confidence and trust in that. Put your confidence and trust in 1 Peter 2:24 because it'll bail you out of anything. Amen. Now, you know, you don't want to do damage to your body. I mean, you know, if you're beating your head against the wall and say, "Pastor, pray for me, I got a headache." I don't think so. Quit that. You know, you can do things. Yeah, I'm here following what I'm saying. I'm not throwing out everything, but I'm just saying if you throw out if you throw out the most important thing, all the others just filler. It's just supplements. Are you with me now? It's just supplements. That's all that is. And that's fine. Do those things. But I'm just saying, there's people that put their faith in that. Come on. I put my faith in the Word and in my redemption. Because I don't care how well you treat this body, it still will go haywire on you at times. Because there's still a devil out there. You can't throw a vitamin at him and rebuke him with it. You mean you don't take vitamins? I used to. I ran out and never, you know, got them a refill. You know, I do for quite a while, you know. I can't tell any difference. I still feel the same way I always felt. Well, yeah. So, but, and I'm not knocking. Are y'all with me? I'm not knocking that. I'm making a point. My point is this. The most important thing you can do for your healing and your divine health is find out what the Scriptures say about it and put that in your heart and put that in your spirit, and that'll keep you through anything. Amen. If God needs to correct you over your foolishness that you're doing with your body, then, you know, you need to obey that too and take care of that. Amen. I mean, you know, I ain't going to go there. I'll offend somebody. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, everybody. Verse 2. I was just going to say, you know, I mean, you know, if you drink regular Mountain Dew, if you drink 6 of those a day and you have teeth problems, I don't even hear about it. Well, I'm trusting God. Well, stop that. This doesn't work for idiots. Told you I'd offend somebody, right? It works for people who've got some common sense about them. You can't just do stupid stuff and expect 1 Peter 2:24 to work for you either. Is that all right now? You can't just do stupid stuff. But you don't have to live in fear and think, you know, I got to have everything just right either. You just use some common sense. And I tell you what the Bible teaches more than anything is moderation. Amen. And if we get that right, then we'll be doing pretty good. Hallelujah. We've been working on that for a long time, some of us. Amen. Now, all right. Now let's finish reading those, because look what he said. Verse 3, who forgiveth all your iniquities, who healeth all your diseases. I want you to notice again, the psalmist lumped it together. Iniquities, diseases, sins and sicknesses. Right there it is. They didn't separate them. Church has, but God didn't. Bible doesn't. The Bible says same sacrifice took care of both of them. Hallelujah. Amen. So the same sacrifice took care of both of them. And so here's what the psalmist is saying. You know, God forgives how many of your iniquities? You think there's anything that God's like saying, you know, I'm not going to forgive that. I'm going to hold on to that one. You mean there's like anything you did that maybe he thought, you know, I forgave a lot of things, but that thing you did in 1968, I'm not going to forgive that. How many forgave it all, right? Well, if that's so, if all your iniquities are forgiven, well, how many know all your diseases are healed? Amen. Well, I don't know that I believe that. Well, right there it is in black and white. The psalmist said it. It's right there. So sins and sicknesses, they go together. Same Savior, same sacrifice, same day, same thing, same act, same wonderful Jesus took care of all of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God. I said, thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift our hands to heaven and thank Him right now. If you got sickness in your body, just receive it by faith right now. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You right now in the name of Jesus. If you got anything wrong with your body, just stand up right now and as an act of faith and just receive from Jesus right now. Hallelujah. All right, several people. All right, let's do this. We're going to appropriate what we just learned. Amen. Say this with me, everybody. Thank God.
Thank God.
All my sins,
all my iniquities
are forgiven.
And
all my diseases,
all my infirmities
are healed.
I receive
healing in my body.
Right now,
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now thank Him for it right now. Hallelujah. Just begin to thank Him for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, how do you know? How do you know your sins are forgiven? How do you know that? You know it because you believe what He said, right? You don't know it because you feel like it. So how do you know all your diseases are healed? Right, because He said it, right? You believe what He said. Now, what is a disease? Well, let me say this before we go. See, a disease. What is a disease? Something disease, they think about major things. No, disease. Dis-ease. Anything that would take your ease away is a dis-ease. See, it's a disease. So a lot of times people, well, you know, it's just a small thing. Well, is it taking your ease away? Then it's a dis-ease. It's getting rid of the ease that God has for your life. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. God wants you well. Hallelujah. Amen. I had something, it's been maybe 5 years ago now, just come on in my neck. I couldn't hardly turn it. Now, you know, I could still live with it, but you know, I couldn't get my arm up to here. You know, I think it was this one here. I couldn't get it up in there. I couldn't put it behind my back. It was all in the neck area. Well, you know, I could live with it, but it hurt. It was a dis-ease. Even though, you know, it wasn't going to kill me, it was a dis-ease. A dis-ease. I had to stand. I had to stand for a few months before before my healing was complete. But thank God, I can put my arm back there now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My neck all over the place. I'd move my neck and it'd just pop and crack and hurt and ache. That's a dis-ease. It's not something that's going to kill you, but it sure doesn't feel good. It's a disease. Amen. I like to be free of those things. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.